I'm Blake Hardcastle. This is the Stories You've Missed podcast. Hello and welcome back to the podcast, Stories You've Missed. My guest today is Henry Ndoko. Henry is a project manager for Schlumberger. It's an oil and gas company. He's been with them for 14 years. He attended the University of Douala, which is in way, way, way East Texas, otherwise known as Cameroon, where he grew up and met and married his wife, Marguerite. They have four kids, ages 17 to 9, and she is currently training to be a nurse. And Henry, fun fact about him, likes, he has a need for speed. He likes to drive fast. And you told me before, what's sometimes your prayer?
Oh, my prayer sometimes is that when I'm driving on the freeway, I pray that there should be no state trooper on the road.
No state troopers. So any state troopers who are listening, we appreciate your inattention. Thank you. So Henry, welcome. Henry is here today to talk about his experience of God's grace in the area of employment, or rather unemployment. And so Henry, welcome. And
thank you, Blake.
Yes. So go ahead and give some background to how have you experienced God's grace when it comes to employment, unemployment?
Hey, Blake, one thing that I just need to mention before I give you any kind of details of what happened, I just want to give you some background so that when I speak, people will understand what I went through and put some context into what I'm about to explain.
Yes.
So I moved to Texas with my family in 2014. And the reason why we moved here is because my wife wanted to do education in medical science. So the reason why she wanted to do that is because due to the nature of my job, I have to move from one country to the other, and she couldn't find employment in what she actually studied. She actually did business, and she had a bachelor's in business. Yeah. But everywhere we go, she couldn't get a job in business management or something like that. So she needed to do either education or medical science to be able to get a job. So when I got an opportunity to work in Chad on a rotational basis, meaning 4 weeks at home and 4 weeks at work, I thought that this is a perfect opportunity to move to the U.S. so my wife can actually do her education while I actually move back.
So she couldn't do the medical education in Cameroon.
No,
and she... you're living there, and the company you're working for has you 4 weeks at a time in Chad, which is another large African country for all you non-geography people. And then coming back to Cameroon for 4 weeks, and so you said, well, look, if this is what I'm doing, why don't we do this somewhere where she can pursue?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So when we move over here, it was in 2014, and that is the time when we had one of the oil and gas crises, right?
Okay.
And
apparently we have a lot of these.
Yeah, I have actually experienced, this is the third one that I'm experiencing.
Third, okay.
Yeah, I experienced one in 2008 and the one in 2014, 2015.
Yeah.
So what happened is that in 2015, I think that was sometime around August, September, I was asked to reduce 90% of my workforce in Chad. And when that happened, it was kind of, you know, it was a depressing situation. I was actually affected spiritually and emotionally.
Wow.
And I was promised that when I get back to Houston, I will have a job. Mm-hmm. So because we were shutting down activities in Chad. So I moved back to Houston. And the funny thing is that they told me that you should expect your LOA, LOA standing for letter of assignment, to work in Houston in one of our product center. So I've been there 1 week, 2 weeks waiting for the LOA. And guess what, Blake? I actually got an LOA, but this time around, the letter was leave of absence.
Oh, gosh. Is the other LOA.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So I got an LOA to stay home for 1 year without pay.
And at this point, had you already moved to the U.S. and were living here?
Yes. At this point, we already moved to the U.S. This is 2015. We already moved here for 1 year. And my wife was an international student.
And you have four children.
Yes.
And so they're saying, leave of absence for 1 year, no pay.
Yes. So
wow,
leave of absence for 1 year, no pay. I have kids in private school.
Yeah.
I have a wife who is international student. Guess what? You know how it is expensive to send someone to college, and then not to talk of someone out of state, but this is international student. Then I'm supposed to be home without any pay. I can't work for any other company because my visa does not allow me to work. So in other words, I have to stay home for one full year without any pay, and I have still need to provide.
So that first week, if you can remember back to that, my main coping mechanism is forgetting. But if you can remember back, what were some of the emotions that were, you know, filling you, flooding you, you and Marguerite?
So initially, the first thing that came in my mind was, okay, you know what? If I have to stay here for 1 year, maybe it's just better. It's good for me just to go back to Cameroon, right? Because over there, I already have a home. I don't need to pay rent. Mm-hmm. I don't need to pay some of these extra bills. So it was easier for me just to avoid the problem and just postpone her education and move back to Cameroon, which I didn't do, though. So continue to explain the story. We had to sell one of our vehicles. We had to sell one of the cars, and we stay with just one car.
Okay.
Now, imagine Blake that she has to use that car to go to school. So I was staying home alone. The kids are at school. Marguerite is at school, and I'm home alone. And during this time, even if I want to go out just to go and buy something, I couldn't because there's no means of transportation. So during this time, I have an idle mind, and the devil is playing around with my mind, setting up all kinds of ideas. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe the reason why you couldn't get a job here is because you are a failure, is because you are not good enough. Mm-hmm. Why is it that you are good in terms of employee rating at the company? You are good, but why is it that you cannot get a job? Maybe it's because of your nationality, your background, your origin. So all kinds of ideas started floating in my mind and causing me to be totally confused, right? But during that time, I decided not to give up. So it was a time where I decided to stand up and, you know, face the situation rather than just to let it sink me in my relationship with God, in my relationship with my family. And I want to recall as well that at the beginning of this period, I had so much tension at home because in the course of my career, I didn't spend much time with my family. Mm-hmm. Due to the nature of my job, I was finding myself leaving home very early in the morning and coming back late at night because my focus was mainly on my career rather than my family, right? Yeah. So
providing for them.
Exactly.
And so you're trading, okay, if I'm absent more, at least I'm providing for them. And
exactly. So yeah, that was exactly the situation. I was saying to myself that, okay, fine, I'm still young, so I can I strive to excel. I strive to be top in my company. And if that can actually generate revenue for the family and give them comfort, then they can actually trade that in for my absence.
Yeah.
So, and I really didn't know my kids because I didn't spend time with them.
Yeah.
I didn't really know my wife as well because I didn't spend much time with her. So now that I'm home, it started creating tension between my wife and my kid because they see me regularly and they are learning my new behaviors, and I'm also learning theirs. Right? Yeah. You see what I mean?
And I think a lot of our listeners, either currently or recently, have experienced not quite that intense, but similar, where under COVID-19 and, you know, schools moving online for a whole, you know, March, April, May, people are around each other a lot more. And what normally is, you know, for kids in school, summer vacation has become just, you know, I'm really getting to know you.
Exactly.
And all the parts of you, even the things I'm like, I don't think I want to know that part.
Exactly. You know, just from what you said, experiencing COVID-19 for me is baby compared to what I went through.
Baby, yeah. Yeah. Everyone's going through this.
Exactly. Because I'm experiencing COVID-19. I'm working from home.
Yeah.
I still have the comfort that God provided.
Yes.
But during that time, I didn't have that comfort. I had challenges with bills, right? And I had challenges with raising my kid in terms of, you know, my presence at home. And that is where I really want to say I saw the intervention of God in my life. Because these kids are in private school and the tuition is expensive. And I'm already there 2-3 months without pay. I was paying the tuition monthly. Yeah. Actually, I wasn't the one. The company was the one paying the tuition.
Yeah.
And now that I'm home, I don't have any benefit. The only one that I had was medical benefit. The rest, everything was suspended. So now I have kids in private school and I cannot pay their tuition. I have a wife in college, and I cannot pay her tuition. So I still have the bills to pay. I still need to provide for the family. So all those challenges were kind of overwhelming me. Mm-hmm. I didn't have an emergency fund somewhere where I could just go and tap into it and provide. So this is why I started seeing the intervention of God in my life. I always remember the passage which says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, that my God shall supply every need you have according to his riches in glory.
Say that one more time.
My God shall supply every need you have according to his riches in glory. Mm. I remember that passage and I actually experienced it. Mm. Let me tell you something, Blake. It's usual and common for someone living overseas, mainly for us coming from Africa, someone living overseas to send money back home, right? To help their family back home. But it's very unusual to see it happen in the opposite way. Mm-hmm. But that's what I actually experienced.
The poor were sending to the quote-unquote the rich.
Exactly.
Yes.
During this time, I experienced one of my sisters that God actually used her to provide every single month, at least for our daily living expenses.
Wow.
It was unprecedented. Mm-hmm. She sent money every single month during 1 year for me to at least pay groceries and pay the bills at home.
Wow.
And something exceptional as well, God also used one of my sisters to help out with part of the tuition of my wife, sending money from Cameroon. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, how did they raise that kind of money?
Yeah.
I can't tell. But the only thing that I know is that they were the people that God actually used to bless me over it.
And, you know, that's an important thing to say, that people are God's fellow workers, meaning he can do anything he wants, anytime he wants, however he wants. But it seems like normally he chooses to work through people. And you know, Neil, our pastor here at Grand Parkway, often says that God's will runs on the rails of relationships. And so, you know, some might say, oh, that was your sister. And you say, no, this was God using my sister as an instrument in his hand.
Exactly. And I mean, yeah, it's easy to say about, you know, your family is family, right? So sometimes when you're in trouble, they may reach out and help out, right? But it doesn't just stop there. Yeah.
But not that much and not for that long.
Absolutely, not that much. And like you said, not that much and not for that long. But the most interesting part is that the director of the school where my children were actually waived their tuition to the end of the academic year.
Wow. Knowing your situation.
Exactly. She knew my situation. I was planning to pull them out and send them to public school. She said, you don't have to do that. I will waive the tuition, and when you're ready to pay, you will come and pay. But they will continue to go to school until God actually changes your situation.
Wow.
And one more thing.
Yes.
God used also one of my, I would say, co-worker, who were not that much of friends, right, to help me pay my grade school fees. Mm. Not alone. It was just a help. I was shocked when I saw it.
Yeah. As you describe all this, was some of this humbling for you?
It was super humbling. And, you know, sometimes is the thing is, what I realize in my life is that sometimes I overcalculate. With an engineering background, I'm kind of an analytical person. I always tend to plan a lot. Mm-hmm. I need to know this. I need to know every single detail of what I'm actually planning for. So when I don't have the puzzles in place.
Yeah. You're not a guy who, I'm just going to play it by ear.
Not at all.
For you, that's a plan to fail.
Exactly. Yeah, you got it. So in my planning and in my thought process, I kind of figure out the way I was thinking God will help me.
Right? Yeah.
I never thought that he is going to use those people to reach out and to help.
Yeah.
So
the verse you mentioned before, God will supply all our needs.
According to his riches in glory.
Not according to your wisdom. Not according to your creativity, not according to your ideas.
Exactly. Mm. So I learned not to box God in one corner of my life, but I decided to just let him do whatever he wanted to do, right?
Yeah.
And most importantly, Blake, I have spoken about God's provision in terms of physical need. But the other two parts that are even more important is God's provision in rebuilding my family. I experienced such a fellowship with my wife and with my kid. I can guarantee you that that 1 year is one of the best 1 year I've ever experienced in my life.
And so looking back on this now, 4 years ago?
5 years ago.
5 years ago. So, you know, it's painful and humbling and long. You know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but would you say if that's what it took for me to be where we are family-wise, yep, I'd do it again.
Oh, absolutely. And I keep on saying that to everyone who wants to listen.
Now, who wants to hear that?
Exactly. If I had to do it again,
yeah,
I would do it again.
Wow.
It was so fabulous.
So in the beginning, this may have looked like, especially our own flesh or the enemy speaking to you, this may have looked like punishment from God.
It looks like God had actually forsaken me.
Yes.
That is, you know, the word.
That makes you think of Psalm 13, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but the first four verses are, God, why have you turned your face from me? Why am I looking at the back of your head? When are you going to turn around? And then five and six is when God has acted, and the psalmist says, oh, you know, my paraphrase, I run and jump in your arms, and I sing your praises. But the first four is, God, why have you abandoned me? What? And you search through, what did I do wrong? Did I sin in some way?
Absolutely. Exactly. And that's how we felt at the beginning. It was like, okay, I've always been faithful. I do all the things that you asked me to do. Yeah. And how come will you let this happen to me?
Yeah.
At least I should have gotten some kinds of heads up. So I should have planned properly, you know, put some money aside
to
you know, to face the situation.
Right.
But you didn't tell me that.
Yeah, God, you didn't give me the wisdom to do this. Yes, yes.
Exactly, yeah. So, and one last thing that I quickly want to mention is in my relationship with God, I experienced God in a way that I've never experienced him before. I learned to spend time with him quietly. And because I was home, and that's the only thing I could do, I didn't have any distraction. I had nobody. I was there by myself. I had no job or no work to think of. So I spent so much time to learn God and to grow even in my faith. So I think just for that alone, I could do it again if I have to do
it. Wow. How has that 5 years ago now, what are some of the maybe habits that are with you now that maybe were established or formed in that time?
I think one of the habits is the fact that today in my home, we make the effort to pray daily as a family.
Ah, when does that happen?
So this is something that's a pattern that we started to establish in 2015. Though we went through some ups and downs, but since 2019, we have been consistent. And this year, not to say about this year, but this year is even more consistency, and every child gets to lead in a day.
Ah,
exactly. I don't lead every day. Every child has to lead one day.
Wow.
So I can say that I am seeing the fruits of this sacrifice. I can see what God is doing. Yeah. I think it was not just about me. Sometimes when situations happen, we think it's just about us, but we forget that God is the God of the whole world, and he actually owns those puzzles and he puts them together. Yeah. So I could see the transformation in the life of my children, in the life of my wife, and I understand that this wasn't just about me. So God was actually fulfilling his purpose.
Yeah. Wow. What would you say about someone who is right now going through a similar experience, and you know, they got the LOA they didn't want?
Yeah. So, Blake, there's this passage in the Bible, right? I don't have the verse off head, but I can just quote it. There's a passage in I think it's Isaiah chapter 40 that says that when you go through fire, I will be with you. And when you go through water, it will not overtake you. What does that tell me? It's not a matter of if, it's when.
Ah.
In other words, as we live on this earth, which is not a perfect world, we will go through challenges. And God promised something, that when we go through those challenges, he will be with us.
Yeah.
Sometimes he will not just take us out of the challenge, but he will take us through the challenge. So for someone who is actually unemployed or going through any form of challenge, one thing that I can assure you is that as long as you put your trust in God, he is with you and he will take you through it.
So if someone's a believer right now what they're experiencing, the Bible tells us they do not go through this alone. No matter how alone they feel, that is not what's happening.
Exactly. That is not what is happening. That is a lie from the devil, kind of putting some ideas in your head that your situation is worse, is bad, you are not getting any better, and you will not get a job. The job market looks bad and things like that. But God is faithful, and his word is actually sure and true. Yeah. You can stand on that.
And so the person who I've sent out resume 300 now, and I've LinkedIn as much as I possibly can do and all that. I think the second part of that the verse you're quoting, that this won't overtake you. The end of the story is not you never having a job.
Exactly. So the end of the story is that one thing that I want just you to understand is that sometimes it's not just about you. Sometimes it's not just about you losing your job and getting a new job. God is working something in your life. There are things God wants to develop your character. God wants to develop your intimacy with him. God wants to draw you closer to him. So you just have to yield and learn in the process, not just finding just how to quickly get out of it.
You know, those things you mentioned, him drawing you closer and develop your character, relationship with you, are those things maybe you value now that you valued differently 5-6 years ago?
Yes, I do. I actually value my relationship with God more than anything in the world. Before, I remember back then, Blake, I would tell you something. I would walk to 3 a.m. When I get up in the morning, the first thing I did was to switch on my laptop. So sometimes I remember my wife would even come and take my laptop
away.
What
did I miss while I was sleeping?
Right? Yeah. Actually, also work on my sleep pattern, and it affected me, my mood, everything at home. I remember there were days my wife would take my laptop and go. She would hid it away. So I'll be looking for it at home all day long. And yeah, but I think now I value more my relationship with God. You know, one of the things, thought process that has actually shifted is that I always thought of the here and now, but now I also think of the there and then. Life is not just all about what I get on earth. It's how I finish. It's how I prepare myself for eternity. And if I think about it there and then I have to invest more eternally, not just on what I actually do on earth.
What would you, now, obviously, you know, you're working now. And so maybe when the year was over, did they say, hey, the year's over, we're rehiring you, we're drilling again?
Yeah, that is also the good part of it. One part also I need to mention is true that though I had people who supply, who actually helped me with some of my needs and some of my financial needs, I still went into debt because, you know, cost of living in the U.S. is high, having a family of four, the house that you pay and all that thing. So I found myself in debt. And the funny part is that when I resume work, within 2 months, God helped me to clear out all that debt. So after 1 year, I was called, okay, we have an opportunity for you. And they gave me a job. And like I mentioned, after 2 months, the debt was cleared off. So I got a special bonus and things like that. So I think when I actually resumed that work, I learned how to prioritize, not to put my work ahead of my relationship with God. I could see that my work pattern changed. I had micro breaks for prayers. You know, my lunchtime became my prayer time. I could get up early in the morning to pray before going to work. So it was a complete change. It was a different me. And people could even realize that. My sister told me that, you are different. What happened? I said I went through transformation. And that's how I always call it. That was the turning point in my life. So, I can only say that God is really faithful. He is.
What would you say to a person who maybe right now, you know, there's a downturn in oil and gas, someone who, you know, they didn't lose their job. They're fine. And maybe they're, I won't say danger, but of kind of where you were before. I'm in the work cycle, and, you know, God's important, but he's not ultimate. He's not, and you know, I'm busy at work. I'll get to that person who kind of is where you were, you know, 6 years, 7 years ago.
So What I would say to that person is that it's extremely important for us to define our priorities. That is the first step. Whatever you spend time more with, that is your priority. There's no, for me, the test of time is the best way to test someone's priority. So if in case you are worried and you spend more time with your work or you sacrifice other part of your life, like your family or your relationship with God, I will ask you to go back to the drawing board and write down your priorities. And whatever you think is your priority, you have to spend more time with that thing, whether it's God, your family, or your work. But one thing that we need to be sure of, what I would say to this person, is that we are all accountable in front of God. Every single opportunity that the Lord has given to us, we have to give account for it. It's just like the parable of the sower or the parable of the man who went and gave talent to his servants. Everyone has to give account of it, right? So I will tell you that you need to understand that life is not just about here on earth. We have eternity and we have to prepare for eternity. Yeah. So you need to redefine your priority and put more God first.
That's great. You have a 9-year-old.
Yes.
And so I'm going to ask you, how do you explain this story of grace, you know, to a 9-year-old?
What I usually say to my daughter is that grace is something that we actually don't deserve. You know, the best way I can put this is sometimes before she was thinking is through her effort and the things that she does, that she earns God's love, God's favor, and God's grace. But what I keep on explaining is that he already paid the price and we just have to enter into possession of what he already did. It's not about what we do, it's about what he already did. It's not about what we say. It's about what he has already established in his word.
Yeah.
So the way I explain it to my daughter is that God is faithful. God is first. God just wants us to develop a close relationship with him because he wants us to know him more so we can enjoy him even better.
That's so
and
good.
I keep say to her that, you see the way you are with me, the more you and I are close, the more you know me, the more you enjoy me. That is exactly how God wants us to know him and also enjoy him.
He's not against us. I really appreciate you saying that. You have a couple of notes there. Anything else you didn't get to that you have written down?
No, I think I actually cover all the points.
That's outstanding. Well, I really appreciate your time this morning and sharing. This is not a story I knew, and I'm guessing some of our listeners don't know this either. And those words to your daughter are great words for a 49-year-old.
Exactly.
Thank you. Well, I want to thank you for listening and do us a favor. If you're enjoying this podcast, go ahead and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you have suggestions of other stories that we have as a congregation maybe missed, email me, Blake@grandparkway.org. Thanks for listening. This is The Stories You've Missed.